Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Writing Cabin with Tara Benner. I'm fantasy author Tara Benner, and this is my cabin. We all need to escape into story from time to time. So come on in, sit down by the fire, pour yourself a nice hot cup of coffee, and let's talk books. Now, today we have a very special episode. Rather than our usually scheduled programming, I am going to be reading the first chapter of The Elven Blade, Dragon Kingdom, Book 1. So without further ado, here is Chapter 1. Storia loved the sound of steel on steel as her blade clashed with her opponent's. She supposed it was the elf in her that loved to fight, but it was the human half that had trained in her father's barn since she was old enough to hold a sword. Her upper arm wobbled under the force of the man's blow. Her opponent was only a head taller than she was, but the man was built like an ox. He stood on broad, beefy legs, and his shoulders bulged out of a tunic big enough for Storia to use as a tent. She rotated her weapon and parried the man's strike, stepping out in a wide circle to keep her feet planted beneath her. As she did, her elbow bumped one of the sweaty onlookers behind her, and she stiffened at the splash of warm ale down her neck. The men jeered, but shuffled back to stand on the low stone wall that hemmed in the tavern courtyard. The man struck again, but Storia blocked him and opened her stance to the side. She knew what he was trying to do. He wanted to drive her back on her heels and force her to make a mistake. His brute force tactics might have worked on a novice, but they wouldn't work on her. She waited half a beat for the man to lunge, tucking her head to the ground in a somersault and landing smoothly on the ground behind him. Her opponent whirled, taken by surprise, and Storia lunged in with an attack of her own. Thanks to the elven blood that flowed through her veins, Storia was fast. Her opponent barely managed to block her next strike, and being forced to change direction had thrown him off balance. The man staggered back, parrying frantically, as a round of whistles and drunken taunts rose over the courtyard. Storia hadn't meant to humiliate the man, but the call of the blade was irresistible. She slashed and struck in a violent dance that made her elven half sing with delight. Her opponent was so busy weathering her assault that he wasn't paying attention to where his feet were carrying him. With a few deft swipes of her blade, Storia steered him back against the low wall until his calves hit the rough stones. His arms windmilled as he lost his balance, tumbling backward over the wall and landing in a trout of dirty water. An uproar of drunken jeers met his fall, and triumph swelled in Storia's chest as she brought the tip of her blade to rest a hair's breadth from the man's bobbing throat. His face had turned the color of raw meat, and the front of his tunic was soaked in sweat. For two heartbeats, he glowered up at her, and Storia quickly withdrew her blade. She might have enjoyed seeing the man tumble just a little more than she should, but she wasn't mean-spirited. Working to keep her expression impassive, she reached out to offer him a hand. The man looked from her hand to her face, and his nostrils flared with rage. She could read the humiliation in his eyes and quickly withdrew it. Her heart kicked up a notch as he heaved himself out of the trough, but he didn't move to strike her. Instead, he turned away from the courtyard and began shoving his way through the throng of drunken men blocking his path to the road. Storia let out the breath she'd been holding and scanned the small crowd that had gathered. She spied Finian standing on the wall, which brought him up to eye level with the rest of the men. He was making his way along the perimeter, discreetly collecting their winnings. Finian bet heavily on Storia whenever they made their rounds at the nearby taverns and inns. The two of them always split their winnings down the middle, but they had to be careful not to frequent the same inn too often and risk people catching wind of their scheme. "Who's next?" Storia called, leaping on to the nearest table and swiping her blade through the air. Her tunic was already soaked with sweat, but she didn't remove her waistcoat. These tavern bouts were how she planned to earn enough coin to secure her future, but they weren't worth her life. The vest provided an added layer of protection that had saved her from injury on more than one occasion. "Anybody?" she called, brushing aside a few dark hairs that had fallen out of her long side braid. There was some grumbling from the onlookers in the tavern courtyard, and several sneered at Storia in her baggy trousers and knee-high riding boots. A graying man with an eye patch waved a hand in disgust, while a gaggle of young men jostled and shoved, trying to get their ruddy-faced companion to challenge her next. She was just about to call it a night when another man stepped forward. He had a long, thin face and a reddish mustache that gave him an air of pompousness despite his threadbare clothing. He was taller and trimmer than the last man she'd fought, which gave him the advantage of range. Story was only of average height and not as long-limbed as the mustachioed man. She hopped down with a nod of respect, taking her fighting stance and inclining her head. She held out her sword to meet her opponent's, but rather than touching blades to begin, the mustachioed man lunged. "If you're such a fine swordswoman," the man called out, "why don't you try to at once?" Something moved in Storia's periphery, and she turned in time to see a much larger man step over the low stone wall. He was completely bald, shirtless under his leather vest, and wielding a two-handed sword that was nearly as long as Storia was tall. The bald man blundered toward her, bringing his blade down like an axe, and Storia leapt out of the way. The crowd roared with pleasure at the sudden turn of events, but the surprise nearly cost her her blade. When the mustachioed man swung toward her body, her block was weak and limp. She felt his blade tug at her sword, and she immediately inhaled sharply as she caught the handle. No sooner had she brought her blade up did the bald man rush in again. She braced for his attack, but it still sent a clanging tremor through her body and made her fear he might cut her blade in two. Out of the corner of her eye, she caught a gleam of tarnished copper curls near the front of the crowd. Finian. She could tell that he was watching her, waiting to intervene with a diversion or perhaps by tossing his own blade in the ring. But while her friend had come armed with a short sword, a churly was no match for these men. Finian's head barely came up to Storia's ribs, and churlies were not fighters by nature. Heaving for air, Storia parried a well-placed strike from the mustachioed man and whirled around with her sword. She slashed at him ruthlessly, driving him back, but he was not such a clodfoot that she could trip him up on the wall. She lunged to the side to avoid the bald man's huge sword, turning and taking a running leap onto the nearest table. With Storia standing over him, he couldn't bring his heavy sword down in those punishing blows. He was forced to strike horizontally, and the two-handed sword was not as agile as Soria's thin steel blade. She disarmed the bald man in one fluid sweep, bounding off the table in a graceful flip and landing in a crouch. She sent his blade skittering into the snarl of brambles creeping over the wall and turned to face the man with the mustache. Storia didn't normally aim to kill. She considered these tavern bouts little more than sparring practice. But this man had sought to cut her down to size, perhaps even to kill her. When she advanced, she brought her sword around with such speed and ruthlessness that the man's eyebrows rose in surprise. He leaned back to avoid one fatal swipe across his throat, and when he dropped his weight onto his back leg, Storia swept it clean out from under him. The mustachioed man landed hard in the dirt, and the onlookers roared in delight. The man bared his teeth in a snarl, but Storia held her blade to his throat so he would know that she had been merciful. There was a flurry of commotion as Silver changed hands, and she saw Finian shoving his way through the crowd, pumping the hand of each patron he taxed before tucking the coins away and slipping quietly out of the courtyard. Storia nodded once at the small crowd still watching her before retrieving her worn leather baldric and slipping it over her shoulder. She eased her sword into the sheath along her back and slipped inside the tavern. It was stiflingly hot with all the windows shut and a fire blazing in the hearth. The wobbly tables were lit with the stubs of tallow candles, but most of the patrons were seated at the bar, over which hung a rather indecent painting of a water nymph emerging naked from a pond. She found Finian at their usual table in the back, a gigantic tankard of ale beside him as he counted up their winnings. The squiffy nymph was popular among the traveling merchants who passed through the valley where they lived. The ale was warm and the food usually cold, but it received a fresh influx of customers nearly every night, so it was the best place to run their scheme. The owner was a grumpy old man named Grom, who smelled like half an onion that had been left in the larder too long. He spent an inordinate amount of time dusting the painted bosom of the water nymph and liked to shuffle between the tables with a filthy rag in hand, yelling at patrons and chasing them out with a rusted meat cleaver whenever it pleased him to do so. "Good haul tonight," said Finian. signaling Grom for another drink as Storia took her seat. I must say, I was worried there for a moment when that bald oaf with the giant sword came out. You were worried, said Storia indignantly. I'm the one who nearly had my skull cleaved by that barbarian. True, but you managed to keep your head about you, said Finian, biting back a laugh. Storia snorted. We should probably be more careful, said Finian after a moment's pause. You were moving pretty fast there toward the end. A flash of fear shot down Storia's spine, settling low in her gut. Do you think anyone noticed? Nah, probably not, said Finian cheerfully. They were all pretty drunk. But you were a bit too quick to be entirely human. Storia grimaced. Her father's dark hair and the rounded tips of her ears meant that she could easily pass for a human. People sometimes looked twice at her silvery blue eyes, but no one ever thought that the girl from the valley who wore trousers a size too big could possibly be half-elf. Normally, she was focused enough to keep her unusual speed in check, but the bald man had caught her off guard. She needed to be more careful. 18 years had passed since King Eldritch's men had slaughtered the elves, enslaved witches and wizards, and driven the dwarves out of Eldoroth. The few elves who survived had been hunted down and killed, or else imprisoned in the Iron Tower. Eldritch's men had murdered Storia's mother right in front of her. She'd been 6 years old. Storia had escaped that horrible day, and her father had brought her to Thistle Grove, where no one knew who or what she was. She hadn't left the valley in 18 years, hadn't been allowed to go farther than Larksboro to sell their vegetables at the market. More than anything, Storia longed to get out of Thistle Grove, to be something, someone more than a poor farmer's daughter. 4 kelpas and 62 droubles, Finian announced, producing a small leather-bound notebook and tucking his tongue into the corner of his mouth as he scribbled down the amount. Storia grinned. She knew it wouldn't have mattered if they'd made 2 droubles. For Finian, it was the thrill of winning that put him in such a good mood. Storia had known him most of her life, and she'd grown up among the churly families who farmed the valley. Apart from their short stature, stocky bodies, and the thick curly hair that grew in patches along their arms and legs, they were not all that different from humans. Their magic was subtle enough for the crown not to view them as an overt threat. Most were honest, hard-working people who raised dungies, the long-necked, furry ruminants that produced the finest wool in Tirador. A few churlies she knew drank in excess, or occasionally took to bed someone who was not their wife, but all churlies had a weakness for gambling. They placed bets on whether there would be a late spring frost, how many pounds of fleece each herd would produce, and even how many kids a dungie would birth. So, it was natural for Finian to bet on her. Storia eyed the small piles of silver and copper coins gleaming on the scratched tabletop. 2 silver kelpas and 31 droubles was relatively good pay for 3 duels, especially since she'd managed to walk away unscathed. "That'll be 5 droubles," came Gron's scratchy voice from behind her as he slammed down another tankard of ale. Some of the ale sloshed over the rim and spilled all over the table. "5?" said Finian indignantly. "It was 2 when I walked in." "The price just went up," Grom snapped, a bit of snot leaking from his nose. He sniffed loudly, glaring at their pile of coins. "And it looks like you can afford it." "That's extortion," said Finian. 5 droubles for a drink. The ale's gone flat anyway." "You'll drink it and you'll be happy about it," Grom roared, showering them with spit. Storia eyed the rusty cleaver dangling from the old man's belt and shot Finian a warning look. "Every time she shows up," Grom pointed one grubby finger at Storia, "my customers suddenly find their pockets empty. No more coin for drink. If I cannot make up the difference, I shan't be allowing fighting in my courtyard." Finian narrowed his eyes at the innkeeper. Grom's thin lips stretched in a black-toothed smile, and he rubbed his fingers together for emphasis. Storia handed over 5 copper coins, and Finian bugged out his eyes. She threw up her hands. If they got on Grom's bad side, he could bar them from the tavern, and then they'd have to find a new place to run their scheme. The old man's eyes gleamed wickedly. "We appreciate your business." They watched Grom shuffle off in silence, the meat cleaver swinging as he walked. Finian made a face at the old man's back before tucking his winnings away in the leather pouch he kept in the pocket of his waistcoat. "Dragon bung," he muttered. Does the old man plan to make us cover the difference if this lot can't afford to drink after the duel? He could, said Storia, which is why you shouldn't antagonize him. A few droubles is a small price to pay. Speak for yourself, he muttered, still glaring after the old man. I'll take my chances at an establishment that doesn't smell like the inside of a dungy's anus. I'd rather not know how you're able to identify that particular smell, said Storia cheerfully. Finian snorted. Personally, she was happy to pay 5 droubles for a tankard of warm ale. She'd made that 100 times over since she'd started dueling at the Squiffy Nymph, and she'd managed to stow away a small hoard of silver. One day, when she'd saved enough, she planned on leaving the farm and the valley for good. Since she'd been old enough to pick beans and carrots, every waking hour of the day was spent helping her father milk dungies, muck out horse stalls, shovel manure, and spread it on the fields. She helped harvest tender berries and greens in the spring, vegetables in the summer, grains and apples in the early fall. Even in the winter, there were fences to repair, manure to shovel, and animals to feed. Every hour from sunup to sundown belonged to her father, but Storia's nights belonged to her. She would pay old Grom whatever he demanded to watch her stash of coins grow. To winning, said Finian, raising his tankard in her direction. Storia grinned and clanked her own against his. To freedom. That concludes the sneak peek of The Elven Blade, Dragon Kingdom, Book 1. If you are dying to get more from this world before Book 1's release in October, you can read The Silver Flame Dragon over on my Patreon right now. The Silver Flame Dragon is the prequel novella to this series, and you can read that novella as well as my entire library of Patreon stories for just $3. In the library, you'll find an alternate spicy epilogue from Gabriel's perspective. That's an epilogue to Warrior Witch. You will also find about 17 unpublished Witches of Mountain Shadow short stories. I would be over the moon if you decide to support on Patreon for 1 month, 2 months, or forever. That is patreon.com/TaraBennerLabs. Until next time, happy reading.